السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم وسخر لكم الفلك لتجري في البحر بأمره وسخر لكم الأنهار وسخر لكم الشمس والقمر دائبين وسخر لكم الأنهار وسخر لكم الشمس والقمر دائبين وسخر لكم الليل والنهار وآتاكم من كل ما سألتموه وإن تعدوا نعمة الله عليكم لا تحصوها إن الإنسان لظلوم كفار. الله Almighty states in Surah Ibrahim, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: It is God who created the heavens and the earth and sent down water from the sky, then brought forth fruits thereby for your provisions. God has made the ships subservient to you so that they sail upon the sea by His command. And He has made the rivers subservient to you. And He has made the sun and the moon subservient to you constant. And He has made the night and day subservient to you. And He has given you something of all that you ask of Him. And were you to count the blessings of God, you could not number them. Truly, humankind is wrongdoing and ungrateful. Amanna billah. Sadaqallahu al-Aliyyul Azim. Allahumma salli ala. I read a story recently about a group of friends who were together in college. And after many, many years, after they had graduated and they had moved on with their lives and progressed in their own lives, their former professor contacted them and invited them over to his home for dinner. And so these friends, they got together and they went over to the home of their former professor after many years of graduating. And many of them had not seen each other in a long time, many years. And so when they gathered together and they entered the home of their professor, they took some time to catch up with one another on their lives since they had graduated, since they had been together in school. And so each one of them began to sort of talk about where he or she is, what they've done in their lives. Some of them had gotten married, some of them had gotten children, had children, some of them had gotten jobs, some of them promotions, some of them were doing very well. And so each one of them was sort of talking about his or her development and progress since their time together. And after these introductions, each one of them started to complain about some of the difficulties that they faced in their journeys. One of them began to complain of the problems he had with his spouse and how they ended up, you know, getting a divorce. The other person talked about all of the difficulties that he had trying to get a good job. The third person talked about how she went through a financial crisis, and so on and so forth. They began to complain about many of the problems that they experienced. And the whole time, their former professor was sitting down and he was listening to them and he was observing them. And then he got up, he went into the kitchen, and he came back with a tray that had a container of coffee, a large container of coffee, with many coffee cups and coffee mugs, a diverse array of coffee cups and mugs, different kinds. Some of them very beautiful, very expensive chinaware with beautiful decorations on them, with beautiful drawings on them. Others a little less expensive, but also nice and beautiful. Some of them in glass, and some of them in plastic containers. You know, the takeaway paper cups and plastic containers. And he placed this tray in front of his students, and he told them, please help yourself. Each one of you come and pour your cup of coffee. And so each one of them went and poured his or her cup of coffee. After they had poured their cups of coffee, the professor looked at them and he told them, I want you to take a look at what you did and the choice of cups that you made. All of them had gone and picked up the most beautiful coffee mugs and the most beautiful coffee cups, and they had poured their coffee in the most beautiful, leaving alone, you know, the paper and the plastic and the not so great cups. And each one of them was sitting around looking at the mug and the cup in the hand of his or her friend. So the professor told them, this is what you did. You decided to pick the best coffee cups. And he told them there's a lesson in this. And that is that if we were to look at this life, the life that we live, as the coffee, and the things that we possess, our possessions, our money, our wealth, our places, our jobs, our careers, our relationships, everything that we have, as what? As the mugs, as the coffee mugs. It's natural for us to want the best, to go and to try to look for the best. But in our preoccupation with trying to go after the best coffee mugs and the best coffee cups, the most beautiful, we end up doing what? We end up not enjoying the coffee. We end up focusing on the cup, on the mug, and not enjoying the coffee itself. And the whole point behind going and grabbing the coffee is what? Is to enjoy the coffee. Otherwise, the mug, the cup is a tool. One of the mistakes that we make in our lives is when we confuse the coffee with the mugs. We often end up confusing the coffee that we're supposed to drink, the coffee that we want to enjoy, with the mugs. And what ends up happening is this leads us to a state of unhappiness. Unhappiness, brothers and sisters, is widespread. I was reading a report in the Washington Post about several studies that were done and that continue to be done on an annual basis about the overall well-being and health of Americans nationwide. And this report stated that last year, in 2017, was the worst year on record for the overall well-being and happiness and satisfaction of Americans. The worst year on record. In record numbers, people were expressing their unhappiness, their dissatisfaction with their lives, despite what? Despite having good jobs, despite the economy doing quite well, people making a good living, having good jobs. Yet, despite this, people were still expressing their dissatisfaction with their lives, being unhappy with their lives. So where's the problem? If I have a good job, if I have a good income, if I have a solid relationship with my spouse and with my children, if my health is good, if I'm doing well, why is it that I can become unhappy? Why is it that I would not be satisfied? Do I not have everything at my disposal? Wherever I want to travel, I can travel. Whatever I want to eat and drink, I can eat and drink. Whatever I want to buy, I can buy. So why am I unhappy? Why am I dissatisfied with my life? There could be many reasons. But perhaps one reason is when we develop a state of ungratefulness, when we become discontent with our lives and our situation. When we become discontent, when we are discontent, not content, when we are not appreciative, when we don't express appreciation for our state, the things that we have, the state of being that we are in, this leads us to becoming perpetually unhappy. Perpetually unhappy. Nothing can fill that void when we're discontent, when we are ungrateful. When we are discontent, we are constantly looking for more and more and more. Being content and grateful is a state of mind. It's a state of being. And when we are not, we are constantly looking for more. So no matter how good of a job I have, I'm still not happy. I'm still looking for more. I'm still looking for something else. No matter how great my spouse is, I'm still not satisfied. I'm still looking around for something else. No matter how great my family is, no matter how great my place is in society, I'm not satisfied. I'm always looking for more. I'm always looking around. I'm looking further and further. It's sort of like being farsighted. Some of us are nearsighted. Some of us are farsighted. Those who are farsighted, they are able to see that which is far, that which is away very clearly, but they can't see that which is close. That which is close is blurry. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation, either ourselves or we may know of people, friends, family members, acquaintances, who they have a lot of great things right in front of their eyes. Right in front of their eyes, but they're unhappy. Why? Because they're looking far away. They're able to see. They look far away. They're able to see clearly. But when it comes to the things that are right in front of their eyes, they're not able to see them. And thus they are in a state of perpetual unhappiness, dissatisfaction, discontentment. And so we find that this is a problem. Sometimes we find ourselves in this state of discontentment, that we are unhappy. No matter what, we find ourselves dissatisfied. But these things, being discontent and being unhappy, are things that have remedies. There are things that we can do, some things that we can do in our lives that will help us avoid this perpetual state of discontentment and unhappiness. And I'd like to mention three things very briefly tonight. And they, in fact, are related to one another. And there is some overlap. One of the things, brothers and sisters, is simply to develop contentment. Now, some of you might say, this is easier said than done. It's easy to say, be content, be satisfied with your life, be happy with your life. It's much easier to say this than to actually experience contentment and happiness in our lives. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he tells us in the hadith, "Man qani'a lam yakhtam." Very short phrase, but is massive in meaning. He says, the one who is content, who develops qana'a, in Arabic it's qana'a, the one who develops contentment, lam yakhtam, will never despair, will never be unhappy. The one who develops contentment will never be unhappy. So what's this secret? Contentment al-qana'a, this powerful key, this powerful secret to perpetual happiness, to avoid unhappiness in all situations. Is this something that we can just pray for and immediately receive? Is there a special dua? Can we open Mufatih al-Jinan and point to a specific dua? And we say, yes, if you recite this dua, then you will absolutely be content. Or is there a prayer that we can pray and absolutely immediately we be content? Contentment, like patience, like many other virtues, is something that needs to be developed. It requires us to maintain and to sustain. There is no easy way to achieve this state of being, this state of mind called contentment. It doesn't come out of nowhere. It doesn't come out of thin air. It doesn't come down to us in a, you know, golden platter. It doesn't. It's something that we need to develop. Something that we need to constantly develop in every single day of our lives. We work towards achieving this goal. There's no shortcuts, brothers and sisters. You know, an interesting aspect of the time and the era that we live in is that we have sort of made ourselves used to instant gratification, right? If we look at sort of our lifestyles, in many cases, we've designed them to allow us to achieve instant gratification. Before, when you wanted to go and to purchase something, you would have to get up, you get changed, you know, get ready, you get into your car, you drive all the way to the mall, you go there, you try some things on here and there, spend a couple of hours, you purchase what you need, and you come back. It would take some time. Nowadays, if you want to purchase something, you can do so with a click of a button. Quickly fire up Amazon, everyone's favorite. And if you have Prime, you get it in, you know, 2 days, sometimes 1 day, sometimes the same day. I once ordered a book in the morning and I received it at night. Right? It's immediate. It's instant gratification. Just quickly purchase what you want and receive it immediately. You want to watch a TV show or a movie? You go and you watch it on demand, immediately. At your own time, at your own leisure. Our lives are built around instant gratification. We want things immediately. This is how we sort of live our lives. But there are some things that don't come immediately. There are some things that are not instantaneous. Developing contentment in our lives requires work. It requires hard work. It requires that we constantly work towards this. It's a constant battle and a constant struggle that allows us to develop contentment, to be qanu', to be content, to look at the things that we have and to thank Allah for the things that we have, to be appreciative of what we have. Sometimes we find ourselves, or maybe our children and family members, they are discontent no matter what you buy for them. You purchase for them everything, the latest, you know, toys and the latest technology and the latest, you know, the best clothes, and you take them out and you give them, you keep giving them and giving them and giving them, and they are not appreciative. They're still looking for more. They're still looking for the next item that they can acquire. Sometimes you may ask a person or a child, for instance, you may ask them about the price of an item, and they'll tell you exactly how much an item costs, plus tax. They've already calculated, plus shipping. Huh? But they don't know the value of an item. And there's a difference between knowing the price of a thing and the value of a thing. This requires development. This requires that we develop a mindset, a state of being whereby we are content. We recognize the value of blessings. We don't only realize their prices, but their value. So this is one thing that we can work on. Developing contentment, qana. The second, brothers and sisters, is also to develop an optimistic and positive outlook in life. Sometimes we find ourselves, or maybe others that we know, they live in constant negativity. They live in constant pessimism. Any situation, anything that happens, they think of the worst case scenario immediately. And so they live in this perpetual, you know, sadness, pessimism. They live in negativity. And this is problematic. Living in such a mindset and with such thinking and acting causes us, leads us towards being unhappy. We have to be able to develop. Again, this, like contentment, this is something that we work on. That whatever we face in our lives, we think of the best possible outcome. We think positively of ourselves and of others. This is why our tradition places so much emphasis on giving the benefit of the doubt, husnul dhan. And this is on several levels. We are expected to give God the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes as soon as I face an issue in my life, immediately I blame God. Immediately. I get angry at God. God is the source of my blame. Right? I point the finger and I say, it's God's fault. God is not taking care of me. God does not love me. And God forbid, some people go the extra mile to then even negate the existence of God. Whereas the tradition reminds us to give God the benefit of the doubt. Because our thinking and our understanding is limited. It's limited in scope. Whereas God's knowledge and God's wisdom is unlimited in scope. And sometimes there are things that we assume that are good for us or bad for us, and God knows better. And many of us, we've probably realized this in our own lives. Sometimes we think that a particular situation, this particular relationship or this job or this school or this particular case or whatever it may be, is the best thing for me. If I don't get it, khalas, my life is going to come to an end. And we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something better for us in store. So to give God the benefit of the doubt and to give others the benefit of the doubt. To think highly of others. Not to be quick to judge people in a negative light. To think of them negatively. We have to be able to expel these negative thoughts. Turn towards being optimistic and positive in our lives. To think positively. I read a story once about an engineer who went to a construction site that he was, you know, working on. And he went and he asked one of the construction workers, he said, so tell me, the construction site, they were building a building, large building. So he went to the first construction worker and he asked him, he said, tell me about your job, how's your job? He got, you know, upset. The man was, you know, sweating profusely. He looked up at him. He said, my job is terrible. I have to break these rocks and these bricks with this old machine that, you know, doesn't work half of the time. And it's hot and I get hungry and I get thirsty and I'm rarely paid anything good so that, you know, others can take advantage and live their lives happily. This was number one. He left him. He went to second construction worker. He asked the second construction worker, so how's your job? He told him, you know what, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. You know, I do this small job so that my manager then can take those things that I put together and he can give it to other workers and, you know, they put together and we're building, we're working. And, you know, thank God I make a living. It gives me, allows me to make ends meet. And, you know, I get tired and hungry sometimes, but this is life. And then he turned to a third worker and he asked him, he told him, so tell me about your job. What is it that you do? The construction worker turned around. He pointed up and he told him, do you not see I'm building a skyscraper? I'm building a skyscraper. You're asking me about my job? This is my job. I build skyscrapers. Simply looking at things positively. everything that we experience, we can look at either negatively or positively. And when we work towards developing this positivism, when we're thinking of things in a positive light, then this helps us attain contentment and happiness. Of course, this is not always easy. Sometimes it could be very difficult for us. Sometimes we face issues in our life that are very, very difficult to look at in a positive light. But allowing ourselves, giving ourselves this ability to develop, to constantly try, even when it becomes very, very difficult for us, to attempt to look at things positively, helps us in the long run. It builds our character. It allows us to slowly add to our work of being optimistic in life, being positive in life. This is number two. And number three is to work generally on developing gratitude, thankfulness, being able to show appreciation, to express thanks and gratitude for what we have. This, brothers and sisters, being shakur, being one who expresses gratitude and thankfulness, this is a way of life. It's not, being thankful is not a single day in the year that we celebrate. It's not just the day of Thanksgiving when we express what we are thankful for. It's not one day in the year when we celebrate and we say, yes, we are thankful. Being thankful is a way of life. It is something that we need to develop in every day of our life and in every circumstance of our life. And this is something that not too many people have the chance or have the strength. We have the chance, but not too many people put in the effort and the strength to develop, to be thankful, to show gratitude. And this is why the Quran says, Allah says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ Only a small number of my servants are truly thankful. Because we find that in the vast majority of cases, we end up expressing ingratitude. We forget to be thankful. We find ourselves living our lives in many cases where we are not grateful. We do not express thanks. And so this is something that is important for us to develop, to be thankful, to express gratitude. And there are many ways of doing so. Our tradition tells us that there are three steps, three ways to develop gratitude, thankfulness. The first level is that at the heart. At the level of the heart. This is the first level of gratitude. Our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says in the hadith, مَنْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِنِعْمَةٍ فَعَرَفَهَا بِقَلْبِهِ فَقَدْ أَدَّى شُكْرَهَا When God blesses one of His servants with a blessing, with something, with a favor, a blessing, and this person realizes this blessing in his or her heart. They feel that this is a blessing. They feel that this is a favor from God. If this begins with the heart, according to Al-Imam al-Sadiq, he says, then this person is truly grateful. It has to, again, this is pointing us to what? To a state of being. It's not something that we just profess, that we just express publicly, but it has to be able to come from within, deep within. And for it to come deep within, this takes time. We have to think about these things. For things like this, states of being and values to develop within us, again, they don't come instantaneously. They don't come overnight. These things require development. They require that we work on them so that we make it a habit for our heart to recognize God's bounties and blessings upon us. And in this way, we are able to appreciate, fully appreciate and be thankful. So the first level is the level of the heart. Then the second level is the level of expression, words. Al-Imam Al-Sadiq alayhi salam in the other hadith, he says, شكر النعمة اجتناب المحارم وتمام الشكر قول الرجل الحمد لله رب العالمين. He says, the completion of giving thanks is when a person, a man or a woman, says, expresses, utters, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, thanks to God, Lord of the universe. We have to allow our tongues, our mouths, to get used to expressing thanks for Allah. The hadith tells us, or the tradition tells us, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he was known, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, that he was known for always expressing gratitude, for always expressing thanks, that whenever he would be given a blessing, a favor from God, he would say, Alhamdulillahi ala hadhihi ni'mah, thanks be to God for this blessing. And not only in good times, but even in difficulty, when he would be faced with a challenge or a test or a trial, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, he would say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Praise be to God in every state and in every situation. This is what it means to develop thankfulness. This is where it begins from the heart. This is what it means to be truly, faithfully thankful. Because many of us, it's easy for us when someone gives me something beneficial, someone gives me a gift, I say what? I say thank you. Very easy. But for how many of us are we capable that we are thankful, that we express gratitude in all cases, not just in easy times, but in hard times as well? This is what it means to live a grateful life. This is what it means to live in gratitude and thankfulness, not just in easy times, but in all times, when we experience ease and when we experience discomfort and difficulty. That we remember to constantly thank Allah. And it's very easy, brothers and sisters, very easy for us to develop this habit. Many of us spend a lot of time on the road, when we go to work, when we go to school, when we're out. Many of us spend a lot of time. It's fine for us to spend some of this time, you know, making phone calls, some of this time listening to the radio, to the news. But let's spend a little bit of this time thanking Allah. If you have a tasbih in your car, put a tasbih in your car. Very simple. Doesn't require much. You put a tasbih in your car and take this tasbih, and as you're driving, say Alhamdulillah. Continue to repeat this. When you wake up in the morning, when after you eat, after you receive something, throughout the day, this is something we need to be able to develop. We need to teach our children, brothers and sisters, that when someone asks you, how are you? Not just to say, good, I'm well, but to say, good, Alhamdulillah. I'm well, Alhamdulillah. To remind them the importance of what it means to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if in every situation that passes by, we disregard this, then when do we put time to thank Allah? This is something that we can develop through the words, and the third level is through our deeds. We are thankful and we express gratitude when we do not misuse God's blessings. When we do not misuse God's blessings. When we do not use them for bad things. When we do not use them for unjust things, immoral things. Because this is a state of ingratitude. Imagine someone, a family member, a friend, gives you something, you know, of value, gives you some money, or gives you a nice present, and you go and you use this in the worst possible way. God forbid, a father, for instance, or a mother, gives his or her child some money, right? They get a gift. $100, and this child turns around and goes and buys drugs or alcohol with it, or uses it in other immoral ways. Is this not a misuse? Is this not ingratitude? As a parent, do you not feel bad that you went and you gave your child a gift and this child went and used it in bad ways? Indeed, we are grateful when we do not misuse God's blessings. This is one. And another, when we in turn express kindness and generosity, when we turn to others and we try to lend, extend a lending hand, a helping hand, to be generous, to look out for those around us, not to be stingy or greedy with God's blessings, because this also is a form of ingratitude. Sometimes we become overly greedy. God gives us, yet when others ask of us, we deny them. We expect God to give us all the time, but if anyone on the street were to come to ask us, or there is an opportunity for me to give to a good cause, I always say no. I always shut the door. But we expect God's door to always be open. This is a form of ingratitude. I remember reading once about a father who, you know, he was a greedy father, but he liked to appear very kind in public. And so one day he was at home and he had a friend over, he had invited him. So his friend was over, the father, he turned to his son and he told his son, he said, you know, today we have a special guest, my friend, and I want you to go to the butcher and I want you to get the best meat. Go and buy the best meat from the butcher and bring it back, quickly. So the boy, he runs quickly to the butcher and he tells him, he says, I want you to give me the best meat that you have, the best piece of meat. So the butcher tells him, don't worry, I will give you meat like butter. So the boy thinks to himself, he says, well, if the meat is like butter, I can go and buy some butter. So he left and he went to the grocery store and he told the owner, he said, you know what? I want you to give me some great butter, please. I want some butter. The store owner, he told him, I'll give you butter, it tastes like molasses. So the boy said, you know what? I can go and buy molasses myself. So he went to another store and he told the owner of the store, he says, I want you to give me your best molasses. The owner of the store tells him, I will give you molasses so pure, so clear, like water. Crystal clear water. So the boy thought to himself, he said, you know what? We have pure water at home. So he left, he came back, and he came back home, and his father, he welcomed him. He told him, huh, son, why have you come empty-handed? I told you to go and to get meat. So the son began to explain to his father. He told him, I went to the butcher. He told me butter. I went to get butter. They told me molasses. I went to get He described the whole story. The father became so happy. What an excellent and smart son. I love the way that I have raised you. You are so smart. But then he leaned to him and he told him, but you know what? You made one mistake. He said, what is it, father? He told him, you went around from store to store and you used up your shoes for nothing. He told him, no, father, don't worry. I used our guest shoes. To be greedy and stingy is a form of ingratitude. To be generous is a form of gratitude. And this is why the hadith tells us that the one who does not express gratitude and thanks to God's creation has not expressed or will not express gratitude to God Himself. And you know, this is one of the ironies, brothers and sisters, and I'll end with this. This is one of the ironies of what we call, you know, Thanksgiving. That on this day in particular, many people, they remember the blessings of God upon them, they express thanks, they get together, they enjoy their time, they are thankful on that day, But before the day ends, they go and they stand in long lines and they spend God knows how much money on Black Friday. Instead of reminding ourselves that giving thanks, a form of giving thanks, is to be generous to others, kind to others, those who are less fortunate, those who are in need, we go and we end up spending more and more money on ourselves. Is this not the epitome of ingratitude? That on the one hand we say something with our tongues, we express something with our mouths, but it does not resonate with our hearts and through our deeds. It's important for us to develop this, brothers and sisters. When we are able to develop contentment, when we are able to develop a positive outlook, when we are able to develop generosity and to expressing thanks in word and in deed, this allows us to move forward towards a state of happiness. We are able to avoid much of the unhappiness that plagues a lot of people. That despite having a good family, a good job, a good income, despite having all that they need, they are still unhappy. This is a problem that we need to avoid. And it takes time and effort on our parts that we work to develop this within ourselves and within our families and communities. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to give us the capacity to develop this state of being, the state of contentment, being content, the state of being thankful to God and to God's creation. We ask Allah to bring His peace and blessings and a full and speedy recovery to those who are ill, those who are sick, who have asked us to pray for them tonight. It's Thursday night, a holy night. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to those who are in pain, those who are suffering, those who are ill, those who are living in war and oppression and poverty all around the world. And we pray to Allah to bless the souls of those who have passed away, especially those who have we have gathered tonight to remember them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless their souls and to grant them the highest stations of heaven and to hasten the reappearance of our final Imam al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Mahdi wa ila arwah al-mu'minin wal-mu'minat. نهدي جميعا ثواب سورة الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.